at the fruit of the Spirit, the seventh one, which is faithfulness. And some of the fruits of the Spirit come very easily when I'm studying, but this one this week, I had to really study, reread, pray, and to get things to flow and so forth. I don't know, sometimes it just seems, some messages just flow, but faithfulness is a good one, right? It's needed by all of us. But it seems like sometimes they just don't flow and so forth, but I pray that this one will strike a note in your life. I know many of you are so faithful, this church is so faithful in supporting everything that we do as ministry. And there's sometimes that we're called on to do even more. But faithfulness is very important part of the scriptures. And as I studied and searched different passages, and I'll be using different passages this morning, and some that you probably wouldn't think about that goes along with faithfulness, but I'm be using one that the church of the seven churches mentioned in Revelation as far as faithfulness and the suffering and hardships and stuff they went through, but yet they were still faithful. So if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, I'll begin with verse 22 and then read verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. That's what the one we're on this morning, that's the seventh one. And then verse 23 begins with saying, gentleness, self-control, against such thing there is no law. So when you look at faithfulness, it's a quality which renders a person's, I want to say, trustworthy in their reliability, like faithful servant in, look with me in Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to read verse 10 through 12, which says, I was on 10, I'll read it and you follow along with me in your Bible. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. In verse 12. Verse 11, I'm sorry. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in your use of unrighteousness wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And then verse 12 is up there. And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So, looking at this, I'm thinking Luke is telling us our lives as believers should be different because we have God's living in us. And then going back to Galatians being the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is working in us to produce these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. And how can our lives not be changed by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It has to be a difference in our lives. Just like when Paul was on the road to Damascus and God, struck him with a bright light and his life was changed from that point on. He had the fruit of the Spirit beginning to be produced in his life at that point. And that's how our life should be. We should be changed. And that's a valid question. How can the fruit in the Spirit change our lives? Well, the fruit of the Spirit speaks of the outworking of the Holy Spirit in the life of every Christian. Just not some, but it should be in every Christian. So this morning, we're going to look at the seventh fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. And first of all, we're going to try to answer the question, what does it mean to be faithful? Now, if you could go back and evaluate your lives from the beginning of when you thought of the word faithfulness, or when you was called on to be faithful and that word was mentioned to you, whether it be at church or at work or wherever, I don't know how you thought of that word being faithful, but it's being committed to a task. And it means not only just to be faithful to it, but be able to complete it and follow through with it and make it a part of your life. So sometimes it is translated faith. Other times it's faithful, and still other times it is faithfulness. When you look at this word in the Greek form, and when you see it, especially in Galatians, it means faith, faithful, and faithfulness. These all three words go together. And in fact, three of the ways which the word is used are represented right here, again, in Galatians. So in Galatians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "But only they kept hearing. He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy." Now, that Paul is talking about himself. And I used him as an example of his life being changed. The fruit of the Spirit began to grow in his life. And he realized, and that's why I believe that God inspired him to write Galatians chapter 5 and mention these nine characteristics or traits of the Spirit. Now, if you go back and read the previous verses, it was talking about the negative things in a person's life that we can commit, which would be sin. But now when he gets to verses 22 and 23, we look at the things that should represent every Christian in their lives, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, why would he mention all these other things? Well, in Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about, "Shall we go on sinning so more grace will abound?" And then he answers that question by saying, no. Why should we even think about that or enter our minds or our thoughts that we should sin so more grace will abound? Because Paul is saying now, with all of that behind us, the past, the sins that we committed in the old flesh, now we should be producing the fruit of the Spirit, and that should be our focus from here on out as Christians. So Paul himself realized that the Holy Spirit is the one that produces these traits in our lives here in Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. Now, the word is used to speak of faith in the terms of the content of the Christian message. So that is a part of the Christian message. As I thought about how this word is used in the word, how it can be used in our life, it begins a lot of times in our life by faith. Because Paul also says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth, or God's word. So the content of the Christian message is a part of the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. So that is one of the traits that comes from the Holy Spirit. So this verse is speaking of faith as what Paul believed in. He believed in it. I mean, he not only believed in it, but he lived it. And that's why he became faithful, and that's why he's proclaiming faithfulness is a part of the Christian life and that content of the Christian message So this verse is speaking of faith as what Paul believed. So had he formerly persecuted Christian faith, now he became a follower of Christian faith. And so I want to look at another word for faith, and that's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, which says, and it's, is that 16? Yes. It's kind of a long verse, but I want to kind of jump down where it says, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith, there's that word again, faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So here we see that word, faith, used twice in this verse. And faith can also mean accepting the Christ Christian message. So not only is it the content of the Christian message, but it's also we must accept the Christian message. Because in James chapter 1, when you read, start around verse 19, it talks about hearing the Word of God. And it's talking about then receiving the Word of God and then accepting it. And when we accept the Word of God in James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, then we are to practice that. And we do that by accepting the Word of God. So here Paul speaks of faith in Jesus Christ. There's a lot in this particular word, faith, faithful, and faithfulness. So the ideal is of us placing our confidence in Jesus, death on the cross, and he died for us. He died for us. So it's not enough merely to believe the facts about God, which was the first meaning of faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we must also place our faith and trust in him and what he did on the cross for our lives. So here it's the way of the word of faith most often used here in God's Word. Now, as important as these two were, I just gave you for the word faith, I want us to look at the third one. And I think it's the concept that Paul is speaking of here, and it's living the Christian message. It's the content, not only the content, but it's accepting the Christian message. And now, as James puts it in chapter 1, we got to live it. We got to practice what we believe. And faith is the part of it in our lives. Now, when the word is used in this way, it's often translated faithfulness. Faithfulness. And we like to be faithful, don't we? We like to be faithful at church. We like to. And our number one goal, motivation in our lives as Christians should be to be faithful to the Lord. If we're faithful to the Lord, we're going to be faithful in all the other areas in our life, because he is the motivator of everything that we do as Christians, or we should be doing as Christians. So it's the concept of living the truth of God's message in our lives. Now, it's being faithful to the Lord God, and which he has called us to do. Now look at it this way. In practical way, it's the equality of being true, trustworthy, reliable in the dealings with everything, and with other people as well. So this word, I mean, is a huge word, and it's a huge responsibility on our parts as Christians to live out it. It's the characteristic of, of doing what we know we should be doing, even when it's not easy. Is it? It's not always easy, is it? Always easy to be faithful in a lot of areas of our life. We want to be, but sometimes we just get too comfortable and so forth. And that takes over rather than our faithfulness. All right, let's look at the second question that faithfulness. What does faithfulness look like? You know, I just shared what it should mean to be faithful. Now, let's look at what it looks like. On this second part, I'll be talking about the Smyrna Church, one of the seven churches in Revelation mentioned. And I really hope, and I'm speaking to myself as well, we can see what faithfulness should look like in our lives at this point, with the first part answering what is faithfulness, and now what does it look like. In some ways, that question seems so simple, but it was so simple trying to prepare this message for some reason. You know, when you look at the word overall, the big picture, faithfulness looks so simple, but it's really not. It looks like being faithful, but how are we to be faithful? Now, for a better understanding, and this is where I moved as I studied for this message today, to get a picture of what faithfulness looks like, I end up going to Revelations chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. And I want to read that now. Verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, verse 9, I know your tribulation, and I know your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Pretty harsh word. Now, Jesus is speaking these words. This is Jesus speaking. Then he goes on to say in verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you have tribulation for 10 days. But be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And then verse 11. I want to read verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Now, you're probably thinking, where are you going with this, Pastor Mike, on faithfulness? Well, let's look at the background of this passage, and it's about faithfulness, because it was, as mentioned here, this passage is the second letter John wrote in the series of the seven letters to the churches, and this particular letter was written to the church of Smyrna. John teaches us something important about faithfulness right here. Smyrna Church had gone through some very difficult times, as we read here in these few verses. And these were the things the church was going through at that time. They've already gone through that. If you look at the seven churches in the era in which we live now, it's speculated in the era of the Laodicea church. That's just the seventh church. That's the last church. And that's what we're living in now. And we see some of the things that maybe they experienced back then, Smyrna, now that we're experiencing, but in a different way. And they was experiencing that then. Now, however, notice in verse 10, he moves into the future. That was present tense and what John was talking about. Now he's moving into the future because he says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. And I just took that off the screen. He was speaking of what was on the way. To put it another way, times were hard and they were going to get worse. Now, we can look at our day and time, and our future right now, our present and our future. You know, things seem to be terrible or hard now, but I think in the near future, we can experience things is going to be worse as well, but not in the same way that they experienced it there. And to put it another way, they were hard, they were going to get worse. So how do any of us prepare for the uncertainty of things that lie ahead? And we don't know what lies ahead. Neither did they know what was going to lie ahead. But John reminded the church of the present and the future things coming. So I want to suggest that the way we prepare for any future is always the same as John was telling the church Smyrna to prepare. Now going back to verse 10, according to that verse 10, we are to be faithful to the point of death. And that's what they were saying. It meant being committed to the point of death. And I know that none of us likely would face literal death like they were experiencing, but we should be that committed whether or not we're ever called to make particular sacrifices like they did or not. That was during the first six churches that went through the different tribulations and hardships and so forth. And Jesus said, listen to the Spirit. This is the same Spirit that is mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And John and all the disciples and all of those that were writing these letters and encouraging the churches, it's always encouraging the churches to be faithful in everything they do for the Lord. You look at Paul's life before he met Christ on the road to Damascus. Think about him. He was a persecutor of the churches. God changed his life. And then he told Ananias, you know, you take care of Paul because he's going to suffer much for my sake. And he did. But he was faithful in everything that he did for the Lord. And so it meant being committed to the point of death. Now, probably when John was writing this to the church, there was probably some in Samaria who would have said, when a believer gave up his or her life for Christ, they would probably, some of them were thinking, what a waste, what a waste. But however, our calling is to be committed regardless. Now, at this point, we must leave the results of whether we live or we die in the hands of the Lord. And we never know how dramatically God may use our faithfulness and our commitment to Him. All right, our last question to answer here is, why is faithfulness such a challenge? Well, the word translated is faith is the same word as faithfulness. And sadly, we live in a society today where faithfulness isn't the style, the way of a lot of people, the way they think, the way they live out their life. But the truth is, faithfulness is such a challenge because we are all deal with temptation, and to be unfaithful to God are not to keep his promises. And we live in the society of this nature. Now, however, each time we are faithful, it helps us to move closer to the overall faithfulness God has called us to be and to live. And that's why I say living for him is faithfulness. Living in his faithfulness. That is so important for us. Now, it's doing the right thing when it comes to our spiritual commitment as well. Faithfulness is reading your Bible, setting aside a time to pray, and let God speak to you. If you should ever study the seven churches, that's why Jesus always began and ended the sentences that he spoke to these churches. Listen to what the Spirit says. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and me as a Christian, listen to the Spirit. Don't listen to yourself. Sometimes we try to make it too complicated or too simple. But as Jesus says, listen to the Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying. Listen to the Spirit of God. So faithfulness is reading your Bible and setting aside a time to pray and letting him speak to you. You know, we often lose sight of the big picture, I believe. And we may never be rewarded for our faithfulness here, but in eternity we will. And we're given, you know, we'll be given that in due time, in eternity. And I was thinking about what Revelations 14:13 says. And you might have read this verse before, but it's speaking to the Christian. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." So everything that you do in this life, here on this earth, you know, one of these days your labor will come to an end, but guess what? Your deeds and all the good things will continue on after you're gone, after we see Jesus face to face. And that's encouraging to me, and I know it's encouraging to you, that everything that we do in the Lord's name will never be in vain. We labor, we serve, and sometimes it's hard, difficult, and even many Christians are persecuted. But the work we do for the Lord will carry on even after we are gone. And that's what is so encouraging. We struggle with faithfulness when we forget that we will ultimately answer to God in eternity. Now, in conclusion, faithfulness is the natural fruit of the Spirit as he works in our lives. And that doesn't mean, however, that it happens without us being willing to participate. We must participate. See, God wants us to honor him by being faithful to the things he wants us to do and be involved in the things in our life. He wants to be a part of all of that in our lives. So I hope you get a picture of what faithfulness. There's the three words: faith, faithful, faithfulness. They go together, all three, in Galatians here in the fruit of the Spirit, in many of the other scriptures I read this morning. They all mean the same thing: faith, faithful, faithfulness. And God is looking for faithful followers to him. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. You were faithful sending your Son to the cross, and he was faithful and willing to go to the cross for our sins. And as we look at what Paul and John and Luke was describing in your scriptures this morning, and James as well, they wrote what they was inspired to write. Through the revelations and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And we know the Trinity is God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is always pointing to the Father. The Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. They are faithful in working together. May we be faithful as well as we strive to listen to your Holy Spirit and fulfill the fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is one that we all probably need to really focus on and strive with all our heart, soul, and mind to make it work in our lives and in the life of the church and in our homes as well and wherever we go, in the place of business. It's good to be faithful. Good to be trustworthy and reliable on our words and our dealings with everything that we do, and especially with others, and especially with you, Lord. During this invitation, Lord, I pray and we thank you for your Holy Spirit as we listen and allow you to speak to our hearts through your word, through prayer. You speak. May we listen. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Our invitation.